listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Connor O'Gara joins us Saturday down south. Talking SEC football. SEC Media Day is going on right now. Alabama speaking today. Always a big deal in the state. How are you, Connor?
Gentlemen, it's going well. It's crazy. We're halfway done here in Hoover, but yeah, getting to hear Saban talk today after the comment that he had yesterday about Bryce Young. I think a lot of people are looking forward to talking some NIL with Saban.
Absolutely. It's been a while since I attended SEC Media Days, but I do remember the raucous nature of it. Obviously, with COVID, it's kind of been throttled down a little bit. But what is the atmosphere like today and has been all week with fans, et cetera? How much access can they get to this event?
So fans basically don't have any access. There's no fans in the lobby. There's no ring guy hanging out in the lobby or anything like that. It is different in that regard, and I've never seen it quite like this, but there's still a good amount of media here. Radio Row is still crazy. The entire time is just a blur, but, you know, I'll say this is a little bit of a, you know, nerdy journalism type thing, but it is a little bit disappointing, and I understand the circumstances, to only have two players here and to not have them on those little side tables where you get all the good stuff. Instead, they're just on main podiums. So, you know, kind of bright lights are on them, but it's still been a good couple days so far nonetheless.
Let's talk about what Greg Sankey said about COVID and the vaccines, and if a team ends up with an outbreak, it could result in a forfeit. How did that go over? What is the ramifications of this? What are the vaccinations? I don't know if you know, but what are the vaccination numbers with some of the bigger teams in the conference?
So 6 of 14 so far, we've been told, have reached that 80% threshold, which you've heard teams like LSU who are reportedly there. You've heard teams like Florida, who are reportedly not there. And, you know, there've been a lot of different discussions as to, you know, Georgia is a team that's already there. And Kirby Smart, you know, made mention of that. And Kirby Smart actually was very transparent about a lot of those issues, kind of atypical for him in these settings. But 6 of 14 teams in the SEC right now, and Greg Sankey was pretty clear. He said, look, if this doesn't get figured out and these numbers don't improve, we're going to have some flashbacks to 2020. And that is the last thing anyone wants. And you can say that maybe that's a little bit of a scare tactic, but at the same time, if there's been a voice of reason when it comes to all things COVID and handling it in college football, it's been Greg Sankey. And I think that at this point, we should take his word as gospel and understand that there's still a finish line to cross. The NC State baseball situation was brought up by him. It was brought up by Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby. And I think that right now, we're just trying to get to the finish line, though some people are under the impression that we're already here.
I don't think any coach would ever come out against name, image, and likeness based on recruiting, and you kind of want to embrace what's coming. But how has that issue been addressed by the coaches who have had to talk about it already?
You know, I had some time to be able to talk with Mark Stoops afterwards yesterday, after all of his, you know, typical availability, and basically just asked him, you know, how are you going to handle this during the season? I threw out the situation. I said, you know, what if Chris Rodriguez has a 200-yard game and he's got 1,000 cameos waiting for him on Saturday? How is he going to handle all that stuff? And he said, to be honest, like, I don't know how we're going to go about all of these things. And there are some things that we still need to get figured out. But the consensus, and from players and coaches, and I've been really impressed by this, has been, we're still here to play football. You know, Jordan Davis came out and said, I'm a little bit confused by name, image, and likeness. And I'm not fully aware of all the things that are good and bad about it. And I've been kind of keeping my distance. And Matt Corral has said he's been very measured with his approach. I've been impressed. And maybe that's just because we're talking about the representatives here for each team, but they've come across very educated on these issues, and it hasn't necessarily been just about, hey, let's get whatever deal possible. Kirby Smart said he got that text from Quavo, who said, don't be thirsty. Tell your players, don't be thirsty when it comes to name, image, and likeness. So, yeah, I think we're seeing, you know, everybody's been seemingly for it, but I think there's been a little bit of hesitation as to how to go about all these things.
There are four new coaches in the conference this year at Auburn, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee. Each one is a little different. Each one has got a little bit of a unique angle to why they got the job and what they're going up against. Connor, for your thought, which one is the most interesting, potentially interesting story for the 2021 season?
You know, just specifically for 2021, I would probably, that's a tough question. I'd probably say it's Heupel at Tennessee, because Vols fans obviously are a passionate bunch, and they've been deprived of quality offensive play in recent memory. And I think they are so desperate to see that. And Josh Heupel, if you saw him yesterday in his press conference, I think he said the word offense at least 10 times, probably said the word passing another 20 times. There is a clear message coming out of Knoxville, and it's a message that they want to send to the rest of the college football world. It is fun to play offense here. And that's what you saw from Velus Jones, the former USC transfer, who talks about feeling like a kid in a candy store playing in this offense. So what's Tennessee going to be in year one? Are they going to have enough firepower to actually be able to run that style of offense? Is it going to feel reminiscent of like a 2017, 2018 Ole Miss? I don't know, because I think defensively they're going to be a work in progress. But I think that they're going to have a lot of offensive firepower. And can Josh Heupel, you know, get that 7-5 season and show the Arch Mannings and Ty Simpsons of the world that they're legit?
It's got to be frustrating. I mean, when you look at the conference and you see, hey, South Carolina was able to land Steve Spurrier, get some success. Obviously, Florida, Urban Meyer. And then, you know, later on, here's Dan Mullen. You know, you got, Ed Orgeron winning a national championship at LSU. They have not been able to land a decent coach to propel them upwards at Tennessee for over a decade.
Yeah, and you know what? Some would say that Butch Jones was given a little bit too quick of the axe there.
Probably right.
I still think, you know, and I think he just didn't do himself any favors. And that's
no,
the
not
biggest
at all.
Issue. And, you know, I think that you look at the way that these coach breakdowns have happened at Tennessee, and, you know, it just always ends so horribly and in such catastrophic fashion. And Josh Heupel kind of doesn't really seem like that sort of dude. I mean, who knows? I mean, time will tell what this is all going to look like. But I actually think from a culture standpoint, he's kind of a good guy to be able to ride the ebbs and flows of it. I mean, this is the guy who played quarterback at Oklahoma and obviously had a ton of success there, but he's been in those high-profile situations before, despite the fact that he's coming from, you know, UCF. And I think personality-wise, you kind of need a guy that's going to be a little bit, you know, muted and not necessarily the guy who's going to go out and try and, you know, be worried about what people are saying about him in the same way that Butch Jones was, and that's where he wasn't necessarily that fit. But Josh Heupel's done nothing but crank out top eight offenses each of the last 3 years. So, yeah, he's got a very big task ahead, no doubt about it.
All right, let's stay in the West here. Let's with Alabama number one and coming off a national championship, who are the teams that you're looking at that are just behind Alabama? Where do you see that division?
You know, Texas A&M is fascinating this year because everybody's got October 9th circled on their calendars, and if they don't, they probably should, because that's the opportunity for Jimbo Fisher that I think we've been waiting on. I think from a roster standpoint, with the experience they have in the secondary now and all the different options at the skill player positions for the Aggies, they finally match up well with Alabama. And I don't know if, like what Roman Harper said, that they're going to be favored, but I think that you look at what A&M has been able to do down the stretch last year specifically, and I guess you could go back to Jimbo Fisher's first year as well, and you could say, hey, this is a team that has been able to figure some things out, and they've done a really good job of making adjustments. Can A&M push Alabama to the brink? I don't think it's impossible at all. I think Alabama gets tripped up in the first half of the schedule for the first time in 6 years, whether that happens against A&M or that road trip to Florida, that I'm still kind of deciding on and working through. But A&M's got a fun team, and I think they're worthy of a lot of preseason buzz, despite the fact that they obviously have the big question at quarterback with Haynes King.
Staying in the West, Ole Miss, Matt Corral, who I'm like, wow, still it feels like he's been there forever, but they look like a team that will put 40, 45 up a game. What would their defense give up, though?
Oh, gosh. Their defense let up over 40 points in, I believe, 6 games that it played,
yeah,
which just can't happen.
Nope.
And the question for the Ole Miss defense is, can you flirt with mediocrity? Just flirt with it. Just pretend that at moments throughout the season that, hey, you can go out and maybe not necessarily win a game, but you can go out and not lose it. And that's, I think, the tough spot for Matt Corral and why he felt some of that pressure last year. And he's pretty open in talking about his bad game, the Arkansas game, and, of course, the game against LSU with 5 interceptions, and saying, I struggled with drop 8 coverage. I really did. And I put a lot of time in this offseason to be able to figure out the right ways to work through that. And I think that if you want to build your team around a quarterback, you want a quarterback like Matt Corral. You want a guy that can move. You want a guy that can escape pressure. He can make those off-script plays when it breaks down. You want somebody that believes, even when he's thrown five interceptions, that he's going to throw a touchdown pass in the very next throw. And that's the kind of juice that I think Matt Corral has. So I think that Ole Miss, you know, is been a little bit disappointing because of that defense, but I think that they're still in position to be able to take a nice step up this year in year two of the Lane Kiffin era.
Obviously, with college football, it's always next man up whenever you lose players to either transfer or going on to the next level. Florida lost two big guys in Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts. Who's coming up, and can the Gators have the same level of success?
A lot of questions about Jacob Copeland, Justin Shorter, the former Penn State transfer who showed in flashes. He can be that guy, but you know, still a little bit skeptical about how the former five-star recruit is going to be able to fit in that offense long-term. If he can be that Trayvon Grimes type of piece, that's another guy that they lost this offseason as well, Kadarius Toney. The offensive firepower is going to be different in Florida. We need to, you know, adjust our expectations accordingly. At the same time, though, we've seen with Dan Mullen, when he's had time to develop a quarterback, it's worked out really well. I mean, Nick Fitzgerald, even Felipe Franks, who he wasn't even, yep, you know, in his system as long as he was. Like, look what he did with Felipe Franks in that first year. I just think it's remarkable the job that Dan Mullen has done as an offensive mind, and that's why the floor should be really high for Emory Jones. And a lot of people that are skeptical are probably looking a little bit too far into the Cotton Bowl, or maybe they're breaking down numbers. I want to see what the kid can do when he gets the start and play a full game, and he's not just coming in for a random series or coming in for garbage time. I'm optimistic about Florida's offense being better than advertised, but I think their defense is really where we're going to see more improvement. They just can't be as bad as they were last year. I thought they were a train wreck. I asked Dan Mullen about that yesterday, or 2 days ago, rather. You know, what was the biggest reason your defense never figured it out? And he said, oh, you know, we were erratic at sometimes. I don't know that we say that we never figured it out. Let's call it what it is. They never figured it out. They were terrible. This is a team that had top 30 defenses in 11 of the previous 12 years, and they didn't have that last year, and they weren't anywhere close. So they need to improve in that area. They should with Zachary Carter, Brenton Cox coming back.
Got to get you back next month for a more complete look at the conference before kickoff, my man. Always good stuff. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
You got it. Connor Agard, Saturday down south at SEC Media Days. Oh, goodness gracious, it's coming right around the corner. On a Progressive guest line, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.